Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
And everyone have God's word open before our hearts and our hearts open before the Lord's word this morning so we can hear God speak. We're going to focus on chapter 11 of Hebrews, and just one verse is what we're going to focus on. We'll read several verses and walk throughout the scripture, but this is something that we're going to discover today that's essential for every saint to understand and to acknowledge today. Where did everything come from? Why is there something and not nothing? Why are we here? I mean, you better be able to answer those questions in life. And in our journey of faith, listen, if we've got a destiny, we had an origin as well. And we need to understand that because it actually illumines the path before us on how we actually arrive at our destination. And, you know, modern scientists today, they quibble and scoff at the idea about the universe being formed by God's simple command. They don't want to acknowledge that. They want to tell us that they have scientific and reasonable explanations for the existence of the universe. In fact, they propose, you know, some propose a Big Bang theory for the beginnings of the universe. And if that was true, it doesn't tell us where the original matter came from. It doesn't tell us where the original energy came from to produce such a Big Bang or great explosion. And so at some point, they have to do what you and I do. They have to rely on some kind of faith. Some faith in the origins of all things, the origins of matter and energy. And their faith rests, frankly, in the words of other scientists. Other colleagues, maybe, who presented their hypotheses and have gone on, and now they believe in that word. You see, we all live by faith. Whether you're a Christian or non-Christian, whether you can answer those questions or can't, you're depending on someone's word. You're taking that as the authority for which decision you make. Now, our authority comes from the one true God. Our authority comes from this book. We rely on His word to answer the ultimate questions. They rely on the words of other scientists and think that that's reasonable. But think about this. Is it reasonable, is it more reasonable to have faith that the material used to form the universe just somehow always existed? It was infinite, it's always been there. Or to have faith in a God who's infinite, who's able to create something from nothing? I mean, both take faith. Which takes greater faith? I mean, when you see the evidence, when you see the design of the created order. I mean, you always have to come back to this question of whether we believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's how the Bible begins. And Paul is going to press that for you and for me. Before we stop and consider and see all the examples of those who walked by faith, all those who had a great testimony, all those who bore a great witness, before you even get into each example of faith that they express, and we'll walk through each case here over the next several weeks. Abel will be next week. But before we even get there, we've got to answer that question. How did it all come to be? Why are they even written down? Why do they even exist? I mean, this is really the fundamental question, by the way, when you're witnessing to the lost. If people don't have a biblical worldview, you know what you have to establish first? That there's a creator who made all things. That's what Paul had to do if you see him in the book of Acts when he went from city to city. When he went to the synagogues, he didn't have to establish whether God created all things. The Jews knew that. That's what their book said. That's what they understood from the very beginning of Torah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It wasn't something they questioned. It's something they recognized by faith. But when he went to the philosophers on Mars Hill and when he went to other regions where there were Gentiles, and he had to start and establish his apologetic with the truth that there's one God who made all things, and you start with him. You see, it's amazing. Paul is wanting you and I to recognize this as we examine these who walked by faith. He's wanting us to establish this fact. And it's vital for us because, as we'll see in the context we learned last week, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. And by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. While the world may scoff and laugh at us and even deride us for such a faith, we simply believe God spoke, and so it was. And what's fascinating in a society where there's no room for a creator, there's no toleration of even teaching creationism, there's no opportunity to talk even in a context of a grand designer, a master watchmaker, one of the great arguments for the existence of God, there's no room for that. The modern mind, it just wants to reject it categorically. They can't explain the amazing complexity of the universe. They can't explain the vastness of all that we see and know. They can't even explain the intricacies when you look through a microscope and examine an atom and all the parts of an atom. And there's probably even more to that than we even know. You see, the suggestion that it all came to happen by chance, without the evidence that there is a awesome, omnipotent, omniscient genius behind all things, that's a stretch of faith for me. I'd rather take my step of faith, which is what the Word teaches me and tells me, that God spoke, and so it was. So I want you to stand with me. We're going to read three verses here to get into this, and I'll walk through several passages in Scripture. As we consider just faith in the first steps, in the beginning, what you must acknowledge and what you must recognize. Notice what Paul says here. Now, faith is, again, verse 1, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Notice verse 3 is what we'll focus on today. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed, how? By the Word of God. I underline that in my Bible. That's critical. So that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Gracious Father, open our hearts, open our minds. Lord, help us to understand your truth today and why this truth is essential to our walk of faith. God, I'm thankful that, Jesus, you promised that you have gone to prepare a place for us. We sang about it here just now, Beulah Land, a wonderful place, Lord, but we've not seen it. We've not been there, but we believe it's there. But God, may our faith in the future be tied to our faith in the past and what you've done and how you simply spoke, and thus it was. And God, if we don't have that faith today, then birth that in our hearts. Lord, grant us repentance and faith so that we can be redeemed and we can be saved and now proceed with a new worldview and understanding of how we walk by faith, trusting in the God who has spoken. We love you and we praise you. Thank you, Father. You're there and you're not silent. Give us ears to hear and hearts that want to obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. We're focusing on verse 3 because it's evident that we have faith about the beginning of all things. You know, when you study the different religions of the world, the philosophies of the world, what's fascinating, they all have to answer that question. Why is there something rather than nothing? Where did it all come from? And you can read Hesiod's Theogony. You can read Plato's Timaeus. You can read the Epic of Gilgamesh. You can read about the Indians' understanding, the Hindu understanding. They have several understandings of the created order. Every religion has to answer and understand its origin, why they are here and why we are here. And our faith rests in God's Word and what's been passed down to us. No one was there at the beginning, right? No one was there to, here we bring this report to you, how the earth was created. No, no one did that. God inspired Moses to write it down, most likely. I'm sure Adam passed that along to his sons and on to his sons and grandsons and great, all the way down. But what we know is God inspired Moses to record it for us. And what's fascinating is, let's just go over it. If you went to Genesis 1, what would be, you know this by heart. I mean, we know so much about the created account over there in Genesis chapter 1. What does it say? I mean, how did God make the sun, the moon, the stars, the lights in the sky, and place them there, flinging the fingertips from the stars from his fingertips? How did God make bring the planets to be? How did God establish the mountains, the land, the sea, the oceans, and draw the line where they would go? How did he put the fish in the water and the birds in the sky to fly through those medium and the creeping things on the land to find their place? How did he do all that? I love Genesis 1. He simply spoke. Have you ever read the Chronicles of Narnia? Aslan comes on the scene, Lewis trying to put this picture in the hearts of children and adults too, to help us to realize, as Aslan, this tiger, or I'm sorry, lion, just keeps come walking. And what does he do? He's just singing. And as he's singing words, there's birds and there's mountains and there's oceans and the trees and these things are just appearing as he just speaks words. He's helping us to see and realize that the worldview that we have, according to Genesis 1, that God simply spoke. Or as Paul writes here, that we understand that the worlds, notice this, were framed by the Word of God. Now that's not the word logos, it's logos, it's rhema, and it's another word that means word, and it's the spoken word. Now we understand this, the logos made it all. How do I know that? You can write in the margin of your Bible, John 1, 1 and 1, 2. Why? Because over there it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and all things came into being through Him. Nothing came into being that was not made by Him. He's the Creator. And how did that happen? God spoke. God spoke, and there it was. There it happened. And so we also know this from Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, that the Logos of God was God's agent, the Father's agent in the created order. Our faith, listen, it affirms a worldview that from the very beginning, we depend on what? The Word of God. Now, why is that essential? How does faith come? Romans 10, 17. Faith, it's how we began our study of enduring faith. How does faith come? It's absolutely essential that you understand this, because if you're going to go on a journey of faith, you're going to have to build your life on this, just as these elders did and obtained a good testimony. They built their faith on the Word of God. And that's how it all began. God simply spoke. And so it was. So by the Word of God, The worlds were framed by God. So much so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Now you see, the past, the beginning, the things that are seen came from things that aren't seen. Just as the things that are unseen, our faith in the future and what's going to happen, our hope in the future is going to be reality one day. It's tied together. And it's essential that you and I understand it. We see this created order. We see all of it. We walk on it. We talk and we see and find our sustenance from it as we farm it and produce goods and products that sustain us and sustain life. We enjoy the fresh water and the rivers and we love the fish in the sea and we see all this. But we know this, in the beginning, God made it. He created the heavens and the earth. So what is seen is not made out of things which are unseen. No, that's how he did it. He created it ex nihilo, out of nothing. And that's what we believe and we affirm. But it's tied to what we also believe is going to happen. You see, my understanding right now in the present, it enables me to grasp an invisible truth. And that invisible truth is one in the future which I have not seen. But by faith, I see it. Do you? I mean, do you believe the Word of God when Jesus spoke and said, "Behold, I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you"? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that he also said, "Hey, and if I go and prepare a place for you, guess what? I'm going to come back and to receive you unto myself"? You see, we express our faith in the past as much as we do in the future. No human witnesses were there, present in the past. And we don't really have any human witnesses that have seen it other than John by the Spirit giving us a picture of it in the book of Revelation. And that, he can only tell us what it's like. He can't actually put it in words. It's all, it's like this. It's like this because it's beyond words to explain what it really will be like. But beloved, when we see it, oh, we'll rejoice. It will be worth it all when we see it. But in both instances, and everything that's in between, your journey of faith, my journey of faith, it depends on the Word of God. So build your life on the Word. Now, you know, sometimes you go through life in this world and in the dash in between those two, the beginning and the end, and what do you discover, man? You go through some trials, you go through some difficulties, just like old Job did. What's fascinating is Job didn't quite understand what was happening in his life, and he was wrestling with it. And of course, he had some really good friends who came along to give him their counsel, right? Oh, praise the Lord. But then he wanted to say an answer. He had a word he wanted to speak, and he told Elihu, I've got something I want to say. I've got some questions for God. And God said, oh, bring them. I've got some questions for you, Job. What's fascinating over there in chapter 38, he asked Job, hey, Job, by the way, where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? The creator asked Job, and he says, in fact, I've got several more questions for you. Where do I store up all the treasures, the storehouses of snow? Can you tell me, Job, how does it all function? How does it all sustain itself? How is there order? Job, do you know how I made the creatures? In fact, can you touch Leviathan? Because if you could, you'd take him home as a pet. But I can touch him because I made him. Job, how did I make the planets? How did I make the stars? Job, how did I make the earth hang like an orb in space? Could you answer me that, please? Job said, I think I'm going to put my hand over my mouth and realize he's God and I'm not. God knows everything he did at creation, and in our limited understanding, we don't understand that. But what we must understand is that he is the creator. In fact, the psalmist would say that over in Psalm 100. When we come into God's presence, we come into his presence singing and praising and thanking him for all his goodness to us. But we know something that is essential. We know that the Lord, he is God. Why is he the only one? Well, Revelation chapter 4 would tell us this. Because see, he's holy, holy, holy. That means he's set apart. It's not just he's pure, but he's set apart and distinct from all of his created order. And Revelation would tell us he's also the Almighty, and there can only be one all-powerful source. And he's also the God who was and is to come. He's the eternal God. All three of those attributes highlight the significance that God is distinguished from his creation and everything that's made in time, and that he is God. In fact, the psalmist would say over there in Psalm 100, not only that he is the Lord is God, but that is he who has made us and not we ourselves. That he is the creator who has made all things. Our existence depends upon him. All that exists actually came by his command. There is something which came from nothing, and it was only possible because it came from God. Now, you know what? We don't see that in the physical world. That's why sometimes I think it's difficult for us. We always make something from something. We have existing matter, and we make things. You make widgets, you make things in the factory. My boys seemingly helped me make messes. They learned it from me. We make something from something. We don't make something from nothing, unless you work for the federal government and they print money out of nothing, but that's another story, okay? The fact is, listen, we believe that this word of God made all things. He spoke, and thus it was. And God has the power. God has the ability to do that. Our God is of such a magnitude that you and I can trust in him. Now think about this. If by faith we believe that he made something out of nothing, if by faith we realize he made what is, then that faith is actually sufficient to help me look to the future where I don't see. But by faith, I can believe he is able. And how is he able to do that? Well, by a promise, by his word that he's given us, that he will do what he says only he is able to do. Because my faith rests in the one can give me understanding of the beginning and how he made it so, my faith can rest in the future and what he has promised me and that he will make it so. That's why what we'll find as you walk through these, this world wasn't worthy of these who bear witness of their walk of faith. This world wasn't worthy of them. They were fixing their eyes looking for the city whose builder was and is God. And they walked by faith. In fact, what's fascinating, if you write in the margin of your Bible, Psalm 19, what's amazing there is this created order is actually God's word speaking right now. I mean, God speaks in three ways. I taught it this way in Bible class to some sixth graders this week on the nature and attributes of names of God and the attributes of God. How do we know God? God has to reveal himself, and he speaks a word. Creation, the canon, and Christ. God speaks in those three primary ways. Creation is speaking, all of creation. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament show his handiwork. Day to day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There's no speech nor language where that voice is not heard. The line has gone out through all the earth and the worlds, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun to which like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit is to the other end, and there's nothing hidden from its sight. I mean, what the psalmist is declaring is the world that you and I look out there, it's speaking. Everywhere that the sun rises and runs its course through the sky and sets, wherever its rays fall, on every continent, on every individual, God is speaking through the created order. He's declaring two things, Paul would tell us over in Romans chapter 1. He's declaring that there is an almighty God, all-powerful, who made those things. There has to be. And as he speaks, he's speaking. We just sang about it. This is my Father's world. In the rustling grass, I can hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. Do you acknowledge that this morning? Are you navigating your life of faith, realizing when you rise up on Sunday morning and navigate life and go through the day, he's there and he is not silent? Because he is. Sometimes we're so busy that we don't take time to listen to what he might be saying to us or what his spirit is trying to speak to us to incline us to do. And we're too busy to open the word and hear more of what he wants to say. Psalm 19 would start with general revelation and it moves to special revelation that God has a word which can be as sweet as honey. And it's of greater value than gold. And God wants to speak to us. You're going to need that word because if God used the word to make all things and he's speaking and making us a place where we're going to go and giving us a promise of that, I'm going to need to walk by faith in the word until I reach that golden shore. And so do you, just as they did. God is there and he is not silent. But the question is, do I have an ear that wants to hear? You see, Paul would say over in Romans chapter 1 that the world, God speaks to them and they're without excuse. No one can say, I didn't hear God speak. No, he does. He speaks to everyone. And what happens is, Paul speaks of those in Romans who don't want to hear what God has to say. John would say it in John chapter 1. The light comes into the world and they suppress that light. They don't want to hear that word. They push it down. I don't want to respond because, see, that word speaks. And when that word speaks, man, it convicts. Because it tells us, you're not God. He is. I'm not God. He is. And we need to bend the knee and surrender and yield and acknowledge that truth. But Paul says, you know what? Professing to be wise, they actually become fools and believe the lie, and they reject the truth of God speaking to them. And what happens is the effect of that then plays on their life, and God gives them over to more darkness and to a depraved mind. And who wants to live their life that way? So much so that they don't worship the Creator. What happens? They worship the created things, the creatures, or the stuff. See, that's one of the great evidences as we walk by faith and we understand this fundamental truth that, you know what, we're here because he said we should be here. The life that you and I enjoy is a gift from him. And I'm to worship him and to magnify him and be careful about the stuff, because it will gladly grab your and my attention for worship if we're not careful. The word helps me to realize that and realize by faith we believe he spoke it all. And as he speaks, he actually reveals himself, and he reveals promises as he speaks to those who will hear his revelation and yield to it and walk by faith and simply obey it. And if I don't listen, then I'm going to face a judgment. There will be a day where I will have to acknowledge he's God and I'm not. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. But if I don't acknowledge that truth and I suppress it and I don't want to acknowledge that he's the creator, I will reject the fall, the truth that creation experiences the consequences of sin because of Adam's choice. I will reject even most likely the way of salvation because I don't want to hear about that truth and I don't want to acknowledge that truth that I actually need to be saved. And so as that happens, those things only are possible because of the word that's been spoken to us, and possibly because of the word that became flesh and dwelt among us. The word that dwelt among us because he came to seek and save that which was lost. Hold your place here in Hebrews. Just flip over to me a couple pages to 2 Peter, if you will. I want to show you something. Why this is essential to our future and what we believe. 2 Peter chapter 3. This is really fascinating. Because you know what? The faith in the beginning is essential for my faith in the future. It's critical that the world was framed by the Word of God. And I believe that because the world that is to come is a promise from the Word of God. And that's that we haven't seen it yet, we believe. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses here. So just bear with me and walk with me through this. Just listen to the Word today. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your minds, your pure minds, by way of reminder. What do we need to be mindful of? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, Old Testament, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, New Testament. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, because they have no desire to obey God, right? Saying, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the very beginning of creation. Notice verse 5. For this, they willfully forget, notice, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. Willful ignorance of God's testimony. It's the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14:1. It's the fool who rejects the truth, thinks he's wiser than God. I know better than God. I know more than God. Oh, really? Well, that would make you what? God. That was the temptation in the garden. Go ahead, take a bite, and you will be like him. Because see, if I realize my proper place, then what I realize is, no, he's God, and he's spoken, and he's made all things. Now notice he continues, but the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, what word? God's word. He's sustaining and holding it all together until he speaks a word and brings judgment. They are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What's a promise? The word of God. What's his promise? What's his word to us? As some count it. But his long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What's God's desire? Why is he so patient and not returning yet? It's not because he hasn't finished his work, beloved. He can come in any moment. I'm sure it's ready. Here's the thing. He's going to tell his son the day to come, and when he says to come, Jesus is going to come. But why is he waiting? Why is he tarrying? Because he wants people to come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants them to repent and turn and acknowledge the truth. That's why it's important to do it today. If I hear God speak, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to respond. That's what we've heard in Hebrews over and over. And that's really the admonition from there in the Old Testament. Today, if you hear God speak, respond. You see, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, his word, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. You see, that's what we're going to discover in Hebrews chapter 11. God wasn't ashamed to be called their God because he had prepared a city for them. They were walking by faith, looking to the future, looking for all the promises that God had. It wasn't going to be found in this world. Paradise isn't going to be here. Stop looking for paradise here on this earth. You're not going to find it. Paradise is in Christ alone. And when you look to him, he will bring you the paradise, the joy that only God can give you. And it's what he intended for us to experience and to enjoy. And you and I, listen, don't waver when the world comes scoffing and mocking. Oh, come on, man. Don't give me that religious thing anymore. That's going to happen. They will walk after their own lust. Jude warns about it. 2 Peter, 2 Timothy chapter 3 warns about it. It's happening. Be alert and be aware when hearts reject and have no room for the God who made all things. You see, the psalmist would say this, David over in Psalm 100, not only do we acknowledge the Lord, Lord, he is God, that is he who has made us, not we ourselves, but then he says in worship, we acknowledge one other truth, and it's this, that we are his sheep. We are sheep of his pasture. Why? Because he's our redeemer. He's the one who remakes us. You see, if I don't have to acknowledge that God is the creator and I can just wipe that away, I don't have to acknowledge I need to be remade. And yet all of us do. All of us need to repent and place our faith and trust in Christ. Don't waver in this fundamental understanding that God by his word made all things. And God by his word will remake all things. The ungodly can scoff at it. They can claim that we're ignorant. They can deny it. But the truth is, they will be without excuse. And there is coming a day of judgment. What's fascinating is when you really reflect on this truth and you stop and just think about this created order that's all around us. I like to do this at night when I walk the puppies late at night and I walk outside and I look up out in the country. You can really see it, just the expanse, all the lights, the stars that are just shining. It's so awesome. You look up, kind of like all these light bulbs up here. Really neat. And you look up there and I think oftentimes of what David wrote over in Psalm chapter 8. Over in Psalm chapter 8, David, I think, probably meditating out in the field with his sheep, just grabbing his harp and playing a ditty or two and rejoicing in the Lord. I love what he said in Psalm chapter 8. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him or are mindful of him? And the son of man that you visit him? For you've made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even the beasts of the field and the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Who are we that he takes thought of us? Who are we that he would say, you're my representative, to have dominion on this earth, to fill this earth with my image. You and I, who are we that he would give us that responsibility, give us that purpose in all that we do, to bear witness, to bear light, to testify? I mean, it's really amazing when you stop and think about it. And not just that he thinks of us, right? But that he sent his son to die for us. Who are we? And yet this God who made all things from the very beginning intended for man to be his representative. Ultimately, Christ fulfilling that psalm, a messianic psalm, that Jesus was the one who was made a little bit lower. And he was crowned with glory and honor as he accomplished the work of redemption that God promised he would do. And that he rose from the dead. And because of that, beloved, one day we will reign with him and have dominion with him as a kingdom of priests. Pretty amazing when you stop and think about it. But see, if I really believe God created all things, then I probably need to think like Mark Twain. Mark Twain said this: the two most important days in your life are the day you were born and the day you discover why. Why did God make me? Why am I here? We need to lean into our students and help them to discover why. What did God make me for? What did God gift you? And then, not only why did he make me, why did he save me? What is it that his purpose is? What is his plan for me? God, what have you designed me for? Each one of us, listen, in this room, unique. The principle of individuality, there's none of us that are alike. We're all unique. God has a special plan and purpose for each one of us. We have dignity. We have worth. We are made for something greater than ourselves. And when we realize that, we begin to live for those purposes, and we begin to live by faith. God, show me the natural abilities you've given me, the spiritual gifting that you've given me. It isn't just for me to enrich myself. It's to bring glory and honor to you. I'm made to be a glory bearer. And that isn't just in heaven when we're around his throne. It's right now that you and I bear, we're salt and light, and we bear that light as sons and daughters of light, the children of light. We bear this in a dark world that's darkened in their understanding. We once were there. Praise God, we're not. Amen. Why? Because we know the truth. We've heard the word, and the word helps us to understand our past and the past of all things, the beginning of all things. But the word also tells me the future, and it gives me hope. And my faith is in the evidence of things not seen. Because you know what? It's going to come to pass because he spoke it, and thus it is. And I need this faith in the journey in between. You need this faith. All of these, listen, these saints that marched and walked to the throne of God, they were looking for the city whose builder is God. This world wasn't worthy of them, but they trusted in God and the word that he gave them. And you know what? We have a lot more word than they do, than they did. We've got the whole book, beginning to end, the whole story. How much more faithful should we be found marching forward in victory, trusting, resting. You see, we worship a God, praise God, who speaks to us. We don't worship a God who's seen. We worship a God who is heard. He speaks from the fire, Moses would say. He speaks to us. And praise God, when he spoke, that word did become flesh and dwell among us so we could see him. But beloved, the resurrected Lord that we will see one day, we'll be like him one day. We won't be as gods as he is God, but we will be like him. And he's given us, Peter would say, that divine nature so that we can know about him and know things through the true knowledge of Jesus, the word that was spoken to us. And so I need him today, and I need to heed and hear what Jesus says. You know what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount? You know what? You want your life to be blessed? Listen, blessed is the man who hears these words and obeys what I tell them. His life will be like a man who built his house on the rock. And when the storms of life come, it stands fast, that house. You don't want to listen to what God has to say. You don't want to obey what God has to say. Then you are building your house on some shifting sand that when the storms of life come, that house will go flat. So remember, God is there and he's spoken. In fact, the wise man Solomon would say over in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, youth, listen to me. Students, listen to me. The wisdom that he gives, listen. There's a day when the eyes are going to dim, the windows are going to shut. There's a day when the cord is going to be broken and the pitcher is going to be broken and the wheel's not going to turn. It's an illustration he's using of the human body and the anatomy of the body, that it's all breaking down. You just get older, you'll discover that. And so what he says is this: now in your youth, remember the Creator. Remember who made you. Remember you are made for a purpose. And the Creator can remake you. And he can make something out of nothing. And that may be where I'm at today. I've never understood this truth, Pastor Chris, but today I realize it. And all I've made with something is a mess. We see, our God's the one who speaks order out of chaos when you bring it to Him. Our God, those hands that made all things when He simply spoke, and thus it was, and He made Adam from the dirt. Listen, while you're here, that God who wove you together, Psalm 139, in your mother's womb, that God who wrote all your days in a book, not only knowing your frame, but also your future, that God, which David would say, such knowledge is just too wonderful for me. That God, listen, has a plan and a purpose, and He wants you and I to yield to Him and surrender to Him and discover what that is and live life by faith, trusting in His promises, trusting in His word, building your life on it. And your life and my life should give evidence through that throughout the week as light to the world around us. Beloved, that needs to happen starting today if it isn't happening. But you have to respond in repentance and faith. Is this my life today? And this is the hall of fame we're going to be, the hall of faith that we're going to be walking with. And we're going to learn about how they had instances in their life where they had to believe something true about what God said. And you and I will too as well. And we'll discover that next week, starting with Abel. And walking through and seeing all how they walked by faith. And this is an enduring faith. But it begins, our hope in the future, and our look to the future, is tied to the very beginning. And what we believe God did when He spoke the world and framed it and made it. Words create worlds. There's only one world worth living in, where He is God and we are not.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.